Good morning. So briefly recap what we learned last week. We learned the halacha of parei achoivoi shel chaveroi, that if a person pays another person's debts without speaking to him, without asking him, without making any agreement, the halacha is in general that the debtor is potter, he does not have to reimburse you. And we saw various reasons he can say, you meant it as a mitzvah, I wouldn't have had to pay regardless, I would have been mafayis him. Now, as we learned last week, there are different cases. If you're dealing with a baal choiv doichik, if you're dealing with a lender, a creditor that is tough, that is not willing to negotiate, they're ready as a machlokes, it's a sfeika dedino whether you get reimbursed. If the creditor is a goy, which we consider even less likely that he'll actually waive the debt, there are more paskins that you do have to repay the person, but the shach argues, and again, will likely be a sfeika dedino. The one important exception is that if you're a parei achoivoi, if you pay someone else's debts, but you're holding on to some assets or money that belongs to the debtor, so in that case, the halacha is you'll be able to withhold the money that you have to repay yourself, to reimburse yourself for what you laid out on his behalf. And the reason for that is either since you're holding on to it, since you have his money, it's clear that your intention was not for a mitzvah, your intention was to get repaid from the money that you're having. Or alternatively, there's Shibud Rav Nosson. Since you are holding money that belongs to the debtor owes money to the creditor can come to you directly and say, I want you to pay me with the money with the debtor's money that you have. Since he has the right, al pi halacha, to demand that you repay him, so if you do it voluntarily without being forced by a bezdin, it's not just a parei achoivoi shel chaveroi, and the halacha is you would get reimbursed. Now, the second halacha we discussed last week was a concept of a nitvas al chaveroi. If your friend owes money, or there's a guy going after your friend by mistake, or the guy cannot find your friend, he sees you, so he grabs your money, he grabs your asset as payment for what your friend owes him. So that is a nitvas al chaveroi, and there the halacha is you are potter. Now this leads us to an interesting shaila that came up. A fellow borrowed his friend's car. Now he drove the car into the city, he parked, he was very careful to make sure that it was a legal parking spot. But it was the end of the month, the police officers that were on patrol had a quarter meet, and they gave him a ticket anyway. Comes back, the car has a ticket, returns the car to the owner, and hands him the keys that says, thank you very much for the car, and here's the ticket that you got. The owner said, what do you mean, a ticket that I got? A ticket that you got. He said, no, it has your license plate on it. It's your address. They don't know who I am. You got the ticket. The owner said, what do you mean I got the ticket? They were giving the ticket to the person who parked illegally. That's who they wanted to give the ticket to. So he said, it could be that's what they wanted, but this is a nitvas al chaveroi. You got the ticket for what I did wrong or what I didn't do wrong. So it's your problem. So what's the halacha? L'chayra al pi din, the shoyl is right. Even though the guy, the police officer, would have, had he been in the car, may have given him the ticket directly, would have asked him for his license. But now that he wasn't there, they gave the ticket to the car. It's a nitvaz al chaveroi. Halacha should be, as he can say, I'm very sorry, but it's your problem. Now the truth is, even if he parked illegally, the halacha is not so simple. Because although he may have caused the ticket, it probably is not a garmi. In most cases, it's not in the gufa moment. It could be it's not bari azeka, it's not miyad. When we go to hilchos garmi, we can revisit the issue. But even if he parked illegally, it is possible that he could say that I'm not chayav as a mazik. You're a nitvas al chaver, and therefore I should not have to reimburse you. But on this, there's a tshuva in Koyvitz Meishav V'Halacha, which is put out by Mechon Lahira here in Muncie, that made a very nice tzushtel. And then there's a taz in Simon Kufchav Ches that deals with a very similar case. A person brought a melamed to town to teach his son. Now, when you brought in a foreigner, you had to sign an affidavit or the equivalent of that. The basic rule was that the resident who brought in the foreigner, who hosted him, was responsible if he skipped town with any debts. Now this Malamed hung around in town for a while, he left, and there were Goyim who claimed that he owed him money. Because the Malamed owed him money, they went ahead, they went after the host and forced him to pay. Zak the Taz, this is not a nitvas al chaver. Because in a case like this, where when you welcome someone into your house, it's understood by doing that, you are essentially becoming an arev. You are becoming you're going to be held legally responsible for any of the actions of the malamed of your guest. So that is the equivalent of an arev, and an arev has to pay. There's no concept of nitos al chaverah. So the meshav halacha that the same thing is true over here. Since when you take someone's car, it's understood that the owner of the car is going to be responsible for parking tickets if you go through easy pass. He has responsibility. So there, even though it might be nitvas achaderai, there's a concept of arvos, and therefore the shayel, the person that borrowed the car, would be responsible to reimburse the owner for the ticket.
If you don't before you have the car, any thief
that happened, you're responsible? Well, again, midin arvos it would work. If it would not be a case of arev, the question would be is whether a verbal agreement would be enough, or whether you would actually have to make a kenyan. But when you're dealing with an Arev never needs a Kenyan. Since he gave him the car, he exposed himself to this risk. Based on this understanding, he would be chayev even without any formal Kenyan. Excuse me? A Seicher has less liability than a Shoyal. So it will make things worse. A Shoyal is chayev v'ainsin, a Seicher is not going to be liable for ainsin, only for Gneva v'aveda. So that will make things worse. Exactly. Now, one last halacha before we begin the next sugya, and that is, for those who remember way back from the first year in Hilchas Nana, we discussed the sugya in Chulon Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph of Mishtarshi, where Harei Ansoi Beis Melech Es Granoi, basically the king was chasing after someone's money, comes to his house. And out of the king, instead of seizing his assets, he ended up seizing tvua that had some truma or some maestros inside of it. And the question is, does the owner have to reimburse the kayanim? Does he have to reimburse mamon hegdish for the truma that was taken? So the Gemara says, yes, it's mishtarshi. Since had the king not seized this truma or this tabla, he would have taken more of yours. So essentially, you've saved money from the fact that the guy took your friend's money. That's like you have the money in your pocket and you have to pay for it. Frek the Nesivus, this should be a nitzvah al chaveri. The king was chasing you for the debts you owed. Instead of grabbing your money, it grabbed the kohen's money. So this should be a classic nitzvah al chaveri. And you should have no chiv to pay to reimburse the kohen for the loss. Zok the Nesivus, a beautiful chiddush. He says, nitzvah al chaveri is all talking about what's the case. The guy is going after your neighbor. He goes to the neighbor's house. The neighbor's not home. He can't find anything. So he doesn't want to leave empty-handed. He comes to your house, steals your car, and says, okay, I'm taking this for your neighbor. On that we say, we're very sorry you lost your car, but go after the guy. He's a ganev. You can't go after your neighbor. Nitzvos al-chaveir, your pater. Zakhna Nesivas, that's true when the guy comes to the neighbor's house and grabs something. Over here, you owe the king the money. The king came to your house. He's there, or his agents are there, they're with guns, they're there. They have the ability to take whatever they want. They're a bunch of schlamazels. So everything in your house, they take something that belongs to someone else. Had that not been there, what would have happened? He would have taken the next thing. So in that case, where they're in your house, they're able and ready to grab, and they happen to grab a picadon that you had from someone else, there the Nesiva says, there you're clearly, from the fact they grabbed the kohen's truma, they clearly saved you money, that's mishtarshi, there you have to pay. Nitvas al-chaveroi is only talking about a different case, where they're looking for your friend, they can't find him. They bump into you and they grab your asset. If you weren't there, what would have happened? Nothing. They can't find the friend. You're not there. So they'll go home empty-handed. So now that they found you and they grabbed something from you, so you lost out. If you can recover from the guy, go do that. But in my shenken, in the case where they come to your house, they're ready to take your thing, and they punked out of everything here, they take a pikadon that belongs to someone else, there it's a vadai hezek, there it's mishtarishi, and there you will have to you will have to repay them. What? Mishtarishi. It's a little different than Anna. That's that we discussed in the first year what the differences are. So this is all the sugya of Nana, Mishtarishi, Zana Zelechaser. Well, what we're going to start discussing today is, it was advertised as extortion and duress. But before we get to that, we're going to have to spend a few minutes discussing what are the chiyuvim when a person is in a situation he's going to have a hefsid. Someone else has the ability to save him. To what extent can I force him to help me to avoid a loss? Now the Gemara is in Bava Kama Kuf Yodalit, they have the Maram Mekoymos, that Rabbi Shmuel ben Shaul Rabbi Yochanan ben Broiko says, there is a Tanai Bezdin, that if you have two people traveling, one of them has a barrel of honey, the other one has a barrel of wine. Now honey was much more expensive than wine back then. We're not talking about any vintage wine, it's just your classic, you know, Kedem, Friedrim, Kagord, it doesn't cost very much. The barrel of honey sprung a leak. And now the honey, if something is not done, will slowly all fall to the ground and all get ruined. So Zakt Rabbi Yishmael, the person who owns the honey can turn to the person who owns the wine and say, I want you to spill out your barrels. Give me the empty barrel and it'll save the honey. Now you're gonna lose money. You have wine in it. I'll pay you for the value of the wine. So Zakt Rabbi Yishmael, you can force a person to do it. When Yeshua distributed Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael, he said that if you want Eretz Yisrael, there are some strings attached. And you have to agree that if you're ever in a situation where your friend is going to suffer a big loss, you can save him with a minor loss. You have to allow him to do it as long as he reimburses you at the end. What? No, that's the point. Because your wine is worth less, he can force you to spill out the wine and he'll pay you for it. As opposed to if your wine springs a leak, he can't force you to spill out the honey because... So this is the shita of Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishai Rabbi Yochanan ben Broiko, that you can force someone to do something to prevent you from a bigger loss. Now this is a machlokes. It's machlokes riff, and why do we paskin like it? The Ramon in Simon Reish Tamach Dalet and in Reish Ayin Dalet brings down both shitas and is not machriya. It says machlekes and does not seem to be a clear hachra.
Is it actually machlekes if it sees whether Yeshua made such a tonight? Where are these tonight worked out?
It's a gemara, and but it's machlekes. So it's a machlekes whether it is or whether we hold like it. I mean, the Rosh has it sad to say that it's not just a tanai. He has a tzad to say it's mikra hadin. Al zenev is eloi chaser. It's a chiddush, you know, based on what. But it's so this is a machlokes. Now mitzad sheni we find the Ramah in Simin Shin Zayin, which you have in the Maram Mekoymos, says that normally there's a halacha of a shor shleim das gazlin. If you go over, you need to get somewhere. You go ahead, you borrow your friend's car without permission. So even if you plan on paying him afterwards for the use, shor shleim das is a gazlin. It's aser. You're considered a gazlin. However, Zakt the Ramah, what happens if there's an emergency? And you have to get somewhere, otherwise you're going to suffer a tremendous loss. Zakt the Ramah, you have the right to steal his donkey, go drive there, and when you get back, pay him for the use. Why? Because of this halach. The same way, if your honey is spilling to the ground, you can force someone to empty out his barrel of wine to save your honey as long as you pay him. So if you have an emergency, you can take his donkey, go save yourself, and then as long as you're willing afterwards to pay for the use. Frekta Sma, what's going on? We just said this whole concept is a machloikas, whether you can force him to spill out the honey or not. Here the Ramah says, no problem, take the donkey as long as you reimburse him afterwards. Why does the Ramah, it should be a machloikas. Why has the Ramah just say, it's a dover pasha, you have the right to steal your neighbor's car to go ahead and save yourself. Zakta Sma, there's a difference. The machlokes is in a case where you have your barrel of wine, he has his honey. The honey is leaking. He turns to you and says, I want you to pour out your wine. I want you to help me, save me. The person says, no. I don't want to. It's my wine. I'm not interested. Zuklas ma'at, we have machlekes there. Is there a tanai Yeshua? Can you force him to empty out the barrel or not? That's machlekes. Mashenkin in the Ramos case was, you have an emergency. Your friend's not home. So you help yourself to his keys, you take the car, you go save yourself. Where he's not there, he's not objecting, he's not making a macha, there the Sma says, everyone agrees you're allowed to do it. The whole machlekes is only when the person says, I don't want to, it's mine, it belongs to me, I don't want to be nice, you can't. So there we have machlekes, can you force him? But if he's not around, and you have an opportunity to save yourself, as long as you're going to pay for the use, you're going to pay for any loss, you have the right to do that. If he makes a macha, or if you know that he would make a macha, then you probably can't. That's forcing him. But the point of the Sma is when he's not around, he's not there to ask, you can take first, you can ask questions later. Now, just to bring it down to some practical examples. If a person's in shul, it starts raining. You didn't bring an umbrella, you didn't bring a raincoat. Now, you notice in the coat room, there are some umbrellas or raincoats that are sitting around. Now, normally, to go ahead and to use someone else's umbrella is a shol shlamidas. You can't take someone else's thing and just use it. But if it suddenly started pouring, and if you walk out without an umbrella, your clothing will get ruined. The halacha is, you can take the umbrella as long as you return it afterwards. That's the Sma's case. What? I'm putting this, stay here forever. What? Oh, no. So we're talking about the umbrella's been sitting there for, you know, every shul has a coat room and there's a whole. So in that case, where you need it, where there's a hefset, okay, if there's no hefset, ain't a chanami, but if you need it, you need to get home, and and you're willing to pay for the use or whatever that is, so you're allowed to take it as long as you return it. Let's go to a more complicated case. You come to shul, you went to shul, and you were smart enough, you saw the rain clouds, so you made sure to bring one of those raincoats with one of those big, you know, big hoods to cover your hat. You're going to be safe. I wasn't so clever. I came to shul, I had betachin, I didn't think it would rain, and I don't have a raincoat. So, we both have a problem, but what's going to happen? You're going to go home, your hat will be safe, and I'm going to have to walk home in the rain, and my hat will get ruined. Now, the interesting thing about this case was that you wear a borsalino. If you walk out in the rain, it'll get ruined. It's $200 that will get ruined. I wear a strimal. If I walk out in the rain, there's going to be a $2,000 loss. Do I have the right to tell you, give me the raincoat so I can save my strimal, and I will pay you $200 for your hat? So that depends on this machlokes. According to Rabbi Shmuel, I could. Since I'm facing a tremendous loss, and just like I can force you to spill out your wine to save my honey, I can force you to give up your borsalino to save my more expensive hat. What? Okay, good. So if there's an eitzah, there's an eitzah.
Does it have to be destroyed? Like, if I take $200 and leave my hat inside the
program? If you're willing to just leave it in shul, no. You're paying him for the hefzer. So this would be a machlokes. According to Rabbi Shmuel, I can force you to take a small loss as long as I'm willing to reimburse you in order to prevent myself from having a big loss. It is a sefek d'dina. The Erech Shai says it's a sefek takana. You wouldn't be able to force the person to do it. Now let's talk about a slightly different case. You're on your way to work. Now you drive an 06 Camry, it's aging a little bit. And as you're driving down the highway, you see a Lexus pulled over on the side of the road. You see it's a from Yid, you stop, you know, can I help you? He says, you certainly can. I'm on my way to an important business meeting. If I don't get there on time, this deal is going to fall through. I'm going to lose $50,000. Now, judging from the car that you're driving, you know, how much do you make a day? $200, $300. Here's $300. I want you to drive me to work, and you drive me around. Now, you're not going to work. If you don't show up to work, you're going to lose $200. If this other fellow doesn't show up to work, he's losing $50,000. So, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you have the right to force him to give you the car and drive you to work. Now, if you get fired, your boss will get angry. Good, you'll have to deal with that. What? There's a mitzvah hashavas aveda. The same way there's the mitzvah hashavas aveda, or here it's a takana. If you can save someone from a hefse, he can just give you the car if he wants. He doesn't have to drive you around. I don't know if that's. So in such a case where he can save you from a big loss, and you're going to pay him, you have a chiyuv to do it. Now, you do have to, there are two things to keep in mind. The first is this whole takana is he has a barrel of wine which is slowly leaking of dvash which is slowly leaking. If you don't save him, he's going to lose the honey. So there we see there's a takano, at least a machlekes. We don't find, on the other hand, let's say his barrel is, he has an empty barrel, and he's going to someplace to buy honey. There's a great deal. So you don't find there's a takano, I can force you to give me the barrel because I want to make more money. So if this fellow driving the Lexus is on the way to a meeting because he's going to do a deal where he'll make a killing, he has no right to say, because I want to make money, I can force you to drive me around if I pay you. There's no such takana. Takana is only, he's in the deal, there's a deposit. If he doesn't get to the meeting on time, he's going to lose the deposit. There's a hefsid there. To prevent a hefsid, he can force you to do it as long as he reimburses you. But if it's a question of making a revach, making a killing, there's no such din. Now over here, the Sma has a chiddush, and the Sma says in this case it could be everyone agrees you can force him to do it. Because he says like this, even the shittas that hold there's no such takana. That's in a case, you have the honey, I have the dvash, you have the wine, and I'm asking you to spill your wine to save my honey. So you have the right to say, this wine, I made it myself, I like this wine, I don't want to spill it out, even though it's worth less, still, I don't have to give up my thing just to save you something that has more value. Zuck the Sma, if it's a case where there's absolutely no downside to the other person, there, he says, everyone agrees you'd have a chiyuv to do it. And therefore, if this person's heading into work, where he doesn't care, he does go to work, he doesn't go to work, he cares about the money. So if you're willing to pay him the amount that he would have earned in work, then, since there's no downside, he can't say roitz adam kav shaloi. There's no benefit to him. There, this man says lekuliyama. You'd be able to force him to help you out and to help save you from this loss.
Even for a
rebbe. No, rebbe, you don't find such a takana at all. You only find this by hefzedim. Correct. The Sma says the Segah Dedina is when I don't have to give my wine because people like their thing better, and therefore, even though you'll lose more money, I don't have to give up my thing. But if it's not a question of giving up my thing, it's a question of I can either go to work and make money doing whatever I do, or you can pay me that. So since there's no downside to me, there's no difference to me, then you can force me to go ahead and to do it. Now there's a fascinating nafkamina, there's a Shar Mishpat in Simin Shin Samach. And there was actually a Maisa Shehoyo, a relative of mine bought a house a few years ago. Now when he moved into the house, one of the first things that he did is, good fences make good neighbors. So he decided to put up a fence between his property and his neighbor. The fence company comes down, they send down a surveyor to mark off the property line. And they knocked on this fellow's door and said, you have a problem. Your driveway is built 2 feet onto your neighbor's property. Now, you can have the same story, and this also, which is more common than one would imagine, in Borough Park. You can have a person that builds a house, and the surveyor made a mistake. You can end up with a situation where one person, the wall of his house, is on his neighbor's property. So what's the halacha? Now normally the halacha is, if a person is a gazlan, if a person steals something, he has to give it back. Now by metaltalin, if he steals something, there's takanas hashavim, takanas marish, there are certain cases where Chazal said you can keep if the ganav will have a loss, he can keep it and he can pay you for it. By karka, the basic Rabbi Ruchim Paskins, there's no such takana. If someone steals your land and builds a hotel on it, so you can evict him. It's your land. Maybe you'll pay him as a yoyrid. Maybe you have to pay him for shvach. But he can't say, I already built a hotel. You can't throw me out. It's your property. You have the right to take it back. So based on that, the Ramah and Beis Yosef Paskin, that if someone builds into a foot or two onto another person's property, he has the right al pidin to say, get it off my property. I don't care if your house will fall down, but this is my property, you have no right to be here. So that's my bit that says that if it was b'shogeg, there would be mutter. That's for a different time. But zogta shamay mishpat, this will depend on our sugya. Because what do we see in our sugya? What, I have wine. You have your honey. If your honey is getting lost, you can force me to give up my wine to rescue your honey, as long as you pay me for it. And I can't say, no, it's mine. I don't want to give it up. Zogta shamay mishpat, according to this, if there is a foot or two of my property, and your house is built on it, so it's true. I'll be denied. It's my property. I can tell you, give it back to me, get off of it. But if I do that, you're going to have a tremendous hefzid. Your whole house will come crashing down. So zog d'shar mishpat, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the same way I can force you to spill out the wine to save the honey, as long as I reimburse you. So over here too, since if I take away the land, you're going to have a tremendous hefzid. The person who owns the house can say, I can keep the land, I can keep the house, and I will pay you for the value of the land, whatever the 2 feet is worth, that's what I'll pay you, and that's what I'll be able to do. Mashain came, but it comes out, people who are the Cholkin, if you argue and you hold there's no such takana, then the halacha is, I don't care what kind of loss it is, if it's my land, I have the right to take it back, and it would end up being a sacred din. No, Goy Dagger is when there's a partnership. Here there's no partnership. This property belongs to me, and you put your house on top of it. When we're partners, when we both have rights to it, and we have to dissolve the partnership, there's a concept of a Goy Dagger. But here, where it's completely mine, there will be no Goy Dagger. Now, the Erech Shai takes issue with the Shar Mishpat. He says, first of all, even if you're right, it's a Seker Dedina. By Seker Dedina, the person who owns the land is going to win. It's a Safek Takana, which makes it even worse. But then the Erech Shai says there's a very basic difference between forcing someone to spill out wine. Where you spill out the wine, he'll buy other wine. On the other hand, if you're taking away part of his property, you know, if the neighbor needs this property anyway, you can't tell him, I'll just give you the money, go buy 2 feet of land somewhere else. He doesn't need 2 feet of land somewhere else. He needs a backyard. He needs a place for his driveway. So in that case, where money really can't solve the problem, there you would not say this halacha. And lastly, the Rashi points out that this takana is always when you have a barrel, there's a leak in the barrel, you did nothing wrong. In a case where over here you were a ganiv, even though you did it by mistake, but the bottom line is you went ahead and you took it away from him, you built on it, and now you're turning around saying, but I'm going to have a loss, there the Erech Shai says there's no such takana, and he argues in the Shar Mishpat. What you're probably best off doing is not saying anything. Because just like we saw in the Sma, that the whole Shaila is whether you can force the person to spit out the wine to save your honey. But if the person's not around, if you want to just take the umbrella without asking him, there the halacha is, if he's not around, he doesn't make a malcha, you can do it. So if you don't say anything, and you just slip him a few dollars for the value of your use, so he didn't make a malcha, the halacha is, according to the Sma, l'kulei alma, you would have the right to use it. If and when he wakes up and realizes it's on his property, he might be able to make a malcha. But until that happens, according to the Sma, you'd be fine, and as long as you don't say anything, you won't have any issue. No, you are doing something. You're paying him for the use. But this, just like we see over here, that normally Sholosh Lemidas is a goslin. Normally I can't just take your umbrella and use it. But where it will save me from a loss, the halacha is I have the right to do it as long as you don't object. So over here, we're knocking down my house as a loss. So as long as you don't object, if I pay you for the use, then that should be fine. You're going to have to, it's going to be very difficult. You're going to have to somehow slip him a few hundred dollars without him noticing. But then, you know, if he ever wakes up one day and you're going to claim I paid you for it already, he's not going to believe you. So it's...
You can't say for that you know you have good reason to assume the person would be likely and you can't do it.
Okay. I don't know whether a person... What typically happens when a house is built a foot on someone else's property? I doubt it typically he's not...
You know that
he's
that person.
Okay. That I don't know. Now that we have this Akdama, let's change the case slightly. go back to the story. You pulled over on the side of the road. The fellow with the Lexus tells you that he has to get to this important meeting. If he doesn't get to the meeting in 2 hours, he's going to lose $50,000. He wants to pay you the $200 you would have made and call it quits. Since everyone here isn't Jewish, what happens if the fellow driving the Camry says, okay, listen, it's true. If I go to work, I'm making $200. If you don't get to work, you're going to lose $50,000. Let's split it down the middle. You pay me $25,000, and I'll drive you to work. What is the halacha? Now, on one hand, $25,000 is clearly a little bit excessive for a ride into work. On the other hand, a deal's a deal. He's perfectly happy to leave you on the side of the road. He doesn't have to drive you. And he only agreed to drive you if he gets compensated. So what is the halacha? So over here we have a concept, we have a case. This is going to the case where the Gemara says, we have in the Maror Mekoymus, it's the next in Bava Kamma Daf Kuf Tezayin. There's a case of Tol Dinu V'Havireini. A person escaped from jail. The warden was hot in pursuit, hot on his trail. He's running away. He gets to a river. Doesn't know how to swim. But luckily there was a ferry. So he jumps on the ferry, he says, get me to the other side. Now the captain of the ferry takes one look at him, he sees the striped clothing, he's out of breath, hasn't shaven in a couple of days. So he says, okay, you want me to drive to the other side? $1,000. So halacha is, if the person offers the ferry driver a dinner, which is a lot more than the normal value, to get him to the other side of the river, the halacha is, he goes to the other side of the river, he can say mishat anibach. I was joking, I didn't mean it. And at the end of the day, when he gets to the other side, he only has to pay for the normal cost of a ferry trip. Because he can say, Mishat Anibach, I didn't mean it. What? If he makes a Kenyan, he might be stuck. We'll get back to that. It'll depend on the case. We'll get back to that. So what this Gemara is saying is that when you're stuck, trying to escape, the person tries extorting money from you, you can promise him whatever you want, and then you don't have to pay anything more than the fair market value. Now, this leads to the obvious question. The Gemara's case was very extreme. Your person's running for his life. In such a case, any deal that he reaches, give me $1,000, get me across the water, that's not binding. On the other hand, our case, it's true you have to get to work, you lose the $50,000, but is your life in danger? No. So at what point, what do you need for it to be considered Tol Dinu V'Havireini? What is the bar? What is the guideline, the parameters that you need to be able to say Mishat Anibach? So over here there's a fascinating Machlokes Rishonim. The Ritva says the reason why the captain, or you can fool the captain, is because Al Pi Din, if you see someone running for his life, are you allowed to just sit there and do nothing? No. You have a chiyuv to go help him. Since you have a chiyuv to go help him, if you want to go ahead and say, okay, but I'm only going to help you, I want $1,000, Mishat Anibach. He can tell you whatever he wants, and he doesn't have to listen to it. Because even without the agreement, you're trying to extort money for something you would have had to do anyway. Now, based on that, there's a sugya in Chashmish Madaf on Simon Pei Aleph, where a person saw that his grandson wasn't doing very well and wasn't learning very well. So he blamed his dear son-in-law, that his son-in-law wasn't spending enough time with his child. So he tells the son-in-law, you go learn with your son, and I'll pay you $40 an hour to tutor your son. Okay, with an offer like that, the Adam starts learning with his child. The end of the year, he presents his shver with a bill. The shver says, Mishat Anibach. I didn't mean it. You had a chiyuv to learn with your child. You weren't doing it. Since you had a chiyuv to do it even without getting paid, the fact that I offered to pay you, I had the right to say Mishat Anibach. And the Ramah Paskins at the halacha. Since any way he had to do it, he had a chiyuv to do it, so therefore, if you promise someone money to do something that he has to do anyway, the Ramah Paskins, there's no chiyuv, and at the end of the day, you can say Mishat Anibach. Zok the Ritva, person goes to a doctor. He's sick. The doctor demands, okay, I can heal you, but it costs you $1,000. Now, al pi din, the Torah in Siman in Yardeis in Shem Lamed Vav Paskins, that a doctor is really doing the same way there's a mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. Someone's donkey is lost, you have to return it. If someone's health is threatened, there's also this Aveda as Gufay, and you have a chiyuv to help him. You can charge him your Schar Tircha, you can charge him for Schar Batala, but you can't charge him a premium. Zakhtar Ritva, if a doctor says, I'm only going to heal you if pay me $1,000, halacha is, you go to the doctor, you let him do whatever he does, and you say Meshat Anibach. For the same reason, he has a chiyuv to do it. He's trying to demand money for something that even if you were penniless, he would have an obligation to do anyway. And therefore, the Ritva says at the end of the day, you would not have to pay him. Zog the Ramban, this is not true. Ramban says in all of these cases, it's true, a doctor, if it's the only person, I mean, the Ritva's makes this chiluk, that if he's the only person around, there's no one around that could help him, possibly there would be a chiyuv. But let's assume there are 50 doctors. So it's true, each of them has a mitzvah to do without getting paid. But since it's not mutl on anyone in particular, there are other people that can do it. The Ramban says there, in such a case, it's not a, if you make up a price, there's no chiv to do it for, I mean, even though it's also to charge, but there the Ramban says if you do agree to pay a price, then you're going to be stuck paying it.
Mm-hmm.
So if he is the only doctor around, and no one else can, you're right that no one else can do it, then the equivalent of having no doctors, and then the Ritva says even the Ramban would agree, you can say Mishat Anibach. Okay, so wait a second. So we'll get back to that in a minute. So the Ramban argues on the Ritva. He says to need Mishat Anibach, he has a chumra and a kula. On one hand, he says, there's no chiyuv, he says, even if your life is not in danger, he says, is any deal that's made, ayidei tzchak, your honey is dripping out of the barrel. Is your life in danger? Your life's not in danger. But you're under stress. If you don't do something quickly, the honey will be lost. So Zog the Ramban, even when there's no mitzvah, even though there's no chiyuv mutl on one person to do it, as long as this arrangement was done under duress, you have the right to say Meshat Anibach. That's his chumrah. But on the other hand, the Ramban says, this applies only when you're asking for a crazy amount. You want $1,000 to cross the river. Everyone knows a ferry ticket's $10. So now that the person's under pressure, whether his life is in danger or he desperately needs to get to a business deal on the other side. So since the going rate is $10, if you agree to pay more, you can say Meshat Anibach. However, Zog the Ramban, when you're dealing with a doctor, doctors charge for their chachmah. And really, the way Tyson speaks it out, people pay premiums for doctors. You're not the only person in the world that's doing it. There are many people that will pay a lot for a doctor because they want his chachma. So in such a case, even if we determine it's exorbitant, it's not fair, it's I know, but bottom line is, since it's something which is done, people do pay this amount, you can't say Meshat Anibach. Meshat Anibach is only, it's under duress, and it's something that just isn't done. It's a price that no one pays. But if this doctor, or there are many doctors that are able to charge a premium and people do pay it, even though it's high, even if we would somehow consider it aina, since it's something which is done, they would have to pay. So we'll get the nesivus ties the two together. But really, the difference over here is aina normally is you overcharge someone. There's an isra of aina, and in many cases you have the right to demand a refund. Over here, you know good and well when you make the deal, this price is not fair. Now in Hilchos Aino, if I go over to you and I tell you I'll pay you $1,000 for your hat, in Hilchos Aino there's no Aino, because since it's Ein Hadas Toya, we all know this is not a fair price, and I agreed to do it anyway, so there's no Tain of Aino. Here we have a case where we all know the price isn't fair, so there shouldn't be Aino. But because it's under duress, because you're under pressure, you can say Meshat Anibach, you never meant to waive the Aino, you never meant to be Meichel. So that's really the connection between the two. Normally in Aino, when there's no pressure, if I agree to a crazy price, that proves that I was Meichel the Aino, and I agreed to pay anyway. Here, where there's some level of duress, I can say Meshat Anibach, I never meant it, I never agreed to it, and at the end of the day, I can say, I can refuse to pay. As long as it's ruggle, as long as it's common for people to pay this price, so that you know that it is what it is. Now there is a related question. The Marshag has he was dealing with a case where there was a war, there was an army approaching a city, so everyone was trying to evacuate. Now you can imagine if everyone's trying to evacuate a city, the taxi drivers are making a killing. So Bala Agolis were charging a fortune to carry people and their belongings out of the city. So the fellow had no choice. He cut a deal with a wagon driver. The wagon driver starts driving, and on his way, he doubles the price. And he says, the price went up, the army got closer, I want more. Okay, he agreed to it, he had no choice. When they escaped the city, he refused to pay. And he said, Mishat Anibach. He said, I didn't mean it. The Baal Golas said, what are you talking about? If you would not have done this, there are another 100 people that are willing to pay this price. So you can't say Meshatani. Meshatani Bach is one person's running, escaping a jail. So even though a ferry ride costs $10, if I demand $1,000, that's extortion, Meshatani Bach. Over here, the entire city is trying to evacuate. This is the new normal. This is the going price. And therefore, the Baal Gola said, there's no taina, you should have to pay me the full amount. Marshag has a fascinating psak. He says it depends who was evacuating. He says if everyone evacuating were Jewish, then anyone who you would have asked $1,000 for a wagon ride could have brought you to Bez and say Meshat Anibach. So therefore you can't say would have gotten it from someone else because that person wouldn't have paid you either. He says, Masha Ein Kein, if they were Goyim evacuating, so there the Goy, there's no time, they don't go Meshat Anibach. So since you had the right to charge the Goy, so now that you gave up the opportunity to charge the Goy, so now that's a hefsid. And therefore when you charge the Yid, you would have the right to do it. Now again, I don't know if it's Muslim Lakol, there are some other Achroinim, really in Hilchos I know there's a Shaila. Perhaps you can say that at the times of war, the market changes. And the value of a taxi ride, it's true, when things are calm, taxi rides are worth $10. But during times of war, it's more valuable to everyone. And it's a Shaila by buying how much, whether there's Aino on a weapon, B'Shas Mocham. So I don't know if the Psak with Marshag is so pashut, but again, but his approach is, we have to look at whether you're suffering a loss. What would you have done if not for this deal? The Marshag's point is you go with the normal rate and you ignore the fact that right now there's an evacuation. That's how the Marshag is looking at it. Now I'm saying it's a chiddush because fakir. We find in Hilchos Aino there are shittos that say that once a war starts, the old market gets thrown out the window. Today there are new market dynamics, and the value of a weapon during war is higher than during peacetime. Okay, so we're out of time. Next week, Mr. Shem, will continue, and we will see that this Ramban and the Ritva. There are many other shittos rishonim about where this applies and how it plays out halacha l'maaseh.